Hi and welcome back. This is episode number 277. Today I'm talking to Tim Vorbach. He is the founder and CEO of Amapta Versatile Services. Amapta is a fast-growing company headquartered here in Manila, offering offshore staffing solutions. We had a detailed conversation about their model, Tim's own offshoring journey, and how offshoring can transform a business. Tim is an Australian, based here in Manila, Philippines, and I personally regard him as a highly skilled and knowledgeable entrepreneur and businessman, which can be invaluable when exploring long-term offshore partnerships. I learned a lot from this conversation, and I'm sure you will too. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/277. Enjoy. This podcast is brought to you by Payoneer, the leading global B2B payment solution for the outsourcing industry. If you're a BPO or freelancer or have outsourced staffing, then Payoneer makes sending and receiving international payments super simple, quick, secure, and of course, low cost. They have some fantastic features which have been designed specifically for the needs of this industry. You can easily manage payments between your clients, staff and suppliers across multiple currencies and international bank accounts. Payoneer help make outsourcing easy, so consider them now. And if your BPO, clients or suppliers aren't already using Payoneer, then ask them why not. For a limited time, Payoneer is offering a $50 bonus if you sign up now. So go to register.payoneer.com/OA. Or go to our website and we will have links there. Today we're joined by Tim Vorbach, the founder and CEO of Amapta Versatile Services. To get started, can you give us a brief background of the journey of how you started?
Sure. About probably 2004, we were running a collection of businesses in Australia. And we were looking for a call center solution outside of Australia. And we looked at India and we looked at the Philippines. And we decided on the Philippines. And we engaged a call center, a BPO, without even coming over to the Philippines to do just a lead generation project. And for 9 months, we were serviced by this company without even coming over to the Philippines, and then they were doing an exceptional job, and we were scaling up with them, and we decided to go over to the Philippines to check out the call center and to make sure it was structured well enough for us to keep on growing with them. And then when we came over, we couldn't believe the talent that we were seeing. And we were getting exposed to administration people and finance people and their other management talent supporting this BPO. And then we thought, why are we just doing voice services, which has been traditionally quite a sensitive thing to outsource anyway, and we've got all these other roles that could be done online remotely. And then we started the journey with this particular call center, and we started what we would call offshoring a whole heap of roles, like marketing roles, administration support roles, and we really just jumped onto it in a massive way. And we could see that the talent was here, and we could see that it was very, very doable, but the actual model of a BPO versus what became important for back office roles started to conflict. Like, I needed to have full control over the talent that we were hiring for all these other roles. I didn't want to have an intermediary sort of interfering with what they were doing. I wanted to be in charge of who was actually the people in our team, who was how they were working, and we wanted to indoctrinate them in our way of doing things, our standards, our values. And we just weren't able to make that work with the BPO. The talent was not the issue, but we ended up having to change that BPO. And then we and went to another BPO. We thought we'd explained what we're looking for, and that didn't work. And then over a period of time, we basically almost got to the point where we were giving up on what we were doing with the Philippines. And by that stage, we had a team of 35, 40 people, and it was important to our businesses in Australia. And then decided that if we were to try to do this, we would end up, we might as well try to do it ourselves. And that started a journey for basically 2 years, living half in Australia, half in the Philippines. And we set up, incorporated Amapta, started that process of incorporation in 2009. We got fully incorporated in 2010. And then there was a 2 years it really took us to establish an operation just to support our own needs in Australia. But after 2 years, we really nailed it. And it made such a profound difference to all the businesses in these very specific ways that I became passionate about what we were doing here. And then decided, you know, this is the business that I'm thinking the most of. This is the one I'm most excited about. And then that started a decision to say, well, let's focus on this business only. And it changed the life from, you know, living in Australia to living in the Philippines, and now been living here for, you know, close to 7 years, and just focusing on building the Amapta and doing exactly what I wanted for other Australian and now US and UK and other Western English speaking countries.
Sourcing and offshoring is a broad umbrella term. There's a lot of business models within that. How does your specific offshore staffing product fit within the general outsourcing market?
We see our product as a new category of outsourcing and providing an extension of your team. So we're providing dedicated talent for our clients' businesses, and that involves getting a close understanding of what the client's objectives are, and different clients have different objectives and different sensitivities and different requirements. But generally, that involves building a job description exactly as if they were going into their own market for seeking talent in their own home market, and then we'll take all those details. And then we would start the recruitment process and do all the sourcing and the headhunting if required, looking for active talent as well as passive talent. And then we would do a customized recruitment program for them, do all the shortlisting, and there's a lot of screening, applying tests if they're required, and a whole lot of other steps, again, depending on the nature of the role and the requirement. And then we'd shortlist these people for the clients to be able to then have the final interview and the final approval process. Everything is completely transparent. So when the clients are having this interview with this talent, they know exactly what the salary expectations are for each of the people, so they can make the decision as to which person is the best fit for their business. And then we'll recruit them and then put them into premium facilities with tier one IT managed services. Spend a lot of money and investment on our data security and our IT managed infrastructure. That's obviously very important for lots of businesses, particularly with overseas operations. And then we put them into often depending on the size of the team, private offices, fully branded and identified under our clients, logo, culture and values. And we really make sure that our clients' identity and their culture and values is really transferred into their team, because again, we see it as an extension of their team. So we're doing all of these things in a very seamless and turnkey way, and when we do it well, we're building a team which is a very close relates and identifies very closely with our clients' operations in their own market.
There is a very competitive and tight talent market in Manila, which is very much an employee's market. The talented people have a lot of choice of where they work. What are you doing to attract the top employees and help retention?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the premium talent, and the talent that most of our clients want us to be able to source, can be quite discerning now as to where they choose to work, and that reality governs a lot of the things that we do. We have 13 offices, 11 of them are all around the National Capital Region of Manila, and half of these offices are not in locations because our clients are asking for them, but they're in locations because they're very, very close to where the talent pools actually live. And so we can have people like, very valuable talent, which can be people who are really experienced in a particular domain. And for example, that can be really experienced accounting people with great industry knowledge of the Australian tax system and the business environment. Now, these people traditionally would travel to Makati or BGC or Tigas. They're the three business hubs in Manila. And we've created these other offices which can save these people, an hour and a half and 2 hours one way getting to work. And that becomes very, very important to talent. And so our approach on being an employer of choice goes over across a number of different things. But one is, so a network of offices, so we're close to talent, and that helps when we're recruiting as well, because again, talent will be selective. The first things they'll look at is their salary and the location of the roles. And so for locations, and then providing facilities, which is places where people want to work. And our clients are often very surprised when they see the way that we invest in our facilities. And it's beautiful. These are large workstations, lots of natural light, very good IT hardware, great connectivity. In several of our locations, we've got fully equipped gyms with full-time gym instructors. We've got the collaboration areas and breakout areas, multiple meeting rooms. But it's done very, very nicely because these things are all important for today's talent. And then beyond that, the talent are looking for quality career opportunities. And again, our model has a lot of advantages because the talent, lots of the talent they love the idea of dealing direct with international, getting that international exposure and having the ability to directly interact with US, Australian, UK management teams and get that exposure. That's important to a lot of people. And so when they look at a company like Amapta, they know that they can have the benefit of a company that's been in operation for 10 years, got 2,500 staff. It's got an extremely high rating on Glassdoor. I think it's 4.5, 4.6 out of 5, 99% approval rating of the CEO, which is nice. And there's 96% recommendation to friends. So it's got that sort of established security and a reputation in the marketplace, but it's also got the opportunity to have long-term direct relationships with its clients. And that's another thing that is a feature of our service. We don't mark up the salaries ever for not 1 cent. So, and that's very important, A, because clients like it, and this transparency is incredibly important. So, and it's important what I was saying before, that clients can actually realize what staff is going to cost more versus someone else. But it's also important for talent, because talent want to know that the people that they have, that they're reporting to in their direct relationship, and the people that they're adding value to in that organization, they want to know that, their costs are not getting, so there's no middleman in the middle sort of adding margin. It's a really, really positive system, and it self-reinforces and it works. And I think then beyond that, You've got organizational development activities going on all the time. We have an organizational development team, so we've got several in-house trainers. We've got leaders in that are constantly making available a whole range of generic career enhancing training programs. They're free for our clients, free for the talent. And then also we're doing training programs and training needs analysis with our teams all the time. We're working out what's important to them. We're aligning that with what's important to the client. If there's specific, there's additional costs on some of those things, then and we're really facilitating that. And that's important as well. So I think it's a collection of things.
Mm. You've hinted at the size, but you know, Amapta is really a big operation now, isn't it? How many seats, you said this already, but how many seats and how many staff do you have, and how many sites do you have across the country now?
So our capacity would be close to 3,500, and that's growing. So in the next 3 months, that will be close to 4,000. Our current full-time dedicated employees it'd be 2,500, and depending on when people are listening to this, that will hopefully be more. There's 13 offices. There's another office coming on in 2 months' time, so there'll be 14 offices shortly. So there's now 12 offices right across the National Capital Region of Manila, one in Pampanga, which is probably best known as Clark. One in Baguio, Clark is about 2 hours north of Manila, and it's got its own advantages. And Baguio is about 5 hours north of Manila, up in the mountains of the Philippines. And so there's two regional locations which are very effective for specific opportunities.
So to give an example client, the client is a business person from the US or Australia. They've got maybe 50 staff. They're exploring building a team of maybe 2 to 3 people in the Philippines. How can a client like this with just 2 to 3 seats feel that they have relevance within your organization, within a BPO like Amapta that has nearly 3,500 seats?
Our whole business has been built actually on focusing on clients and companies that other BPOs or staffing platforms would turn away from. We have seen it firsthand that a small business, even you can get some larger companies that are wanting to put their toe in the water and just test it with one or two roles. And so we see a business of any size, one role or 20 roles, 50 roles, 100 roles, they get the same process. So the same, it's completely customized. It really centers around that client and their requirements, and it doesn't change whether you're one staff, two staff, three staff, or 50. So the argument has been, well, why don't you just focus on the larger clients? Well, again, we think that a client that has one staff requirement, two staff requirement, has the potential to grow much larger than what they may even initially be thinking. And also these people, their friends and their business colleagues are often the managers or the owners of other businesses which are larger. And in fact, over 70% of our growth has come from direct client referrals. So these are existing people that have started a journey with the Amapta, and not only have they grown beyond their initial expectations, but now they're recommending to other people that they know, and that's where we're getting our growth.
If there are people out there listening and they're looking to set up a team of 5 or 500 seats, how do you ensure success for these people that are just beginning their outsourcing journey? So from onboarding, process setup, and basically ensuring quick wins so that people get confidence in this model?
I suppose the most important thing is to really understand what the client's objectives are. And we spend a lot of time there. We really, really try to understand, okay, what's important to the client? And different clients have different sensitivities. They have different priorities and different objectives. And so we have the right people at the front of the process talking to the clients, whoever's leading this from the client's perspective. So that's an important first aspect. And we've got senior people that are involved in that process, because then you mentioned about quick wins. I think a safe strategy is looking for the lowest risk opportunities first. And so a company might approach us and have a large set of objectives, and then through these discussions we might identify that there's a couple of areas which are very, very straightforward, very simple to execute, and particularly if the organisation hasn't had much experience with having staff overseas. And because also, if you, depending on the size of the company, again, you've got different stakeholders, you've got different influences. The larger the company it is, often there's different people who are invested in it. Some are a bit cautious about it. So it is important to be able to establish some real proof that it's a good strategy. And so that comes from understanding what's important, and depending on what the needs are. And then addressing the things which are the lowest risk first, and executing on those, and then moving towards all the other aspects. And again, that comes perhaps to talent. Like sometimes clients are asking, "Oh, can you do this?" And they're really surprised when we actually say, "Yes, actually, we're doing." And we're giving examples of different clients doing exactly the same of what they're looking for. And then when we can show them profiles of talent, and they look at their experiences, and they're really surprised that they've got, they can have 5 years experience or more experience doing exactly the role that they want. And that's when it really becomes alive for a lot of prospects who are just on this beginning of this journey. We really try to get people to that stage, because when they can actually see the people that we're saying that we think this is the person that is the right for this particular role that we're talking about, or these type of roles, then clients can really go, yes, absolutely. They're working for a competitor who does exactly what we do, and they're so that's the approach. And then also understanding what the needs are. Different clients have enough resources that they can become heavily involved in the process. Other clients, they're busy, their business is busy, and they want more responsibility on our side. And one of the things that with our business, we're very, very flexible. We're flexible, and we're easy to deal with. And that is really, really important to our clients, because they can get on the phone, and they can make a call, and they don't have to go through 15 different steps. They can talk to the right person, and if something needs to go in a certain direction, it can happen very easily, even regardless if it goes against earlier expectations or understands. If we need to move in a certain way, we'll move very quickly with that. And I say that now because in this instance, some clients want a more managed, they want more support. And so we've got, because of our size, we've got very experienced operational managers in our business, and we can provide a much closer managed support through the incubation period and through the early stages and all these other aspects. Just whatever's important to the client, we will respond with.
Alternatively, what are some of the hurdles and hiccups that you see with people starting their offshore journey for the first time, and some critical things that people could maybe avoid, some common mistakes?
This podcast is brought to you by Outsource Accelerator. We are the world's leading outsourcing marketplace and advisory. We help big and small businesses with their outsourcing needs, and we can help you too. We cover everything from business and staffing strategy, optimal outsourcing structures, implementations, and fully managed services. If you're already outsourcing, about to start, or somewhere in between, then we can ensure that you get the best from outsourcing. That's the best prices, best terms, and of course, the best results from your outsourcing practices. We list over 700 outsourcing suppliers on our website, host this leading outsourcing podcast, and have over 5,000 pages of content. Because we span the entire market, we can ensure that you get the best deal possible. We offer everything from light brokerage, co-managed services, through to fully managed solutions. Get in touch today. Visit us at outsourceaccelerator.com/quote. Mention that you're a podcast listener and we will give you special attention plus a 10% discount. This is for a limited time only. Go to outsourceaccelerator.com/quote.
This is a people business. It's a people business, both on the the BPO or the staffing company that you're the supplier that you're wanting to engage with. So you want to be dealing with people that you can deal with efficiently and understand it quickly about what you're aligned in how to achieve your objectives. But I think the most important thing is that the services are provided by people. So when our clients have a great experience, it's because we've been able to get the talent right from the start. And so the recruitment process and the being well aligned with the exact type of person that is going to really succeed for our clients is really, really important. And being very, very, doing that well and getting that right can make this a very, very easy, straightforward process. And the questions, what's happening to clients now? Are they, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, clients would sort of say, do you think we can do this? And now that question's changing because I think people are seeing it enough times with other businesses that they're familiar with that it's generally understood. Yes, you can do it. If it can be done remotely, it can be done online, then it absolutely can be done. The question is how easy or how fast can it be done? And when you have when you've got great people, and that means the great dedicated resources that are sort of aligned to the teams, then it can be so smooth and so seamless. And if we don't get the right people from the start, then we do all the heavy lifting. We go through all the recruitment processing again. We do all the sourcing. We'll just keep going on our side until we've actually got exactly the right person. That's probably the most important thing. And then depending on the longer term objectives for the clients, I'm pleased to say most of our clients are looking for long-term relationships with their talent. They're not interested. This is not a campaign. This is not a short-term fix but this is about re-engineering their business to be able to have a team operating here in the Philippines, delivering the quality, comparable levels of service and for a long period of time. And in those instances, it's great when clients come over and they visit, and it's great with it's very important communication, and it's very important being invested in the teams that are being built. And it really is you put in, the clients that put in a lot will get it back many times over.
How do you manage the expectations of businesses, business owners, and the entrepreneurs that are growing their own business, facing their own challenges, and then they come offshore and there's some expectation that by outsourcing these business processes, they're also outsourcing the responsibility of the deliverable and outcome? So I suppose, in short, how do you delineate between the provision of staff and staffing resources versus the provision of deliverables or outcomes?
Well, how we deal with that is our service is flexible. So if a client wants to wants us to build a dedicated team for their business, but if they want additional managed support and an additional level of performance support by our management team, then we can do that. But equally, there's a lot of clients that actually they know their businesses better than anyone, and they want to have the direct, they don't want intermediaries. They actually really want to be doing the training and imparting their exact ways from their years of experience in their business direct to their talent. And so what we do in those instances, we just make sure that we can support them and their talent in the most efficient and effective way. So we need to make sure that our, you know, all the fundamentals, all of our IT and managed support, all of those aspects are tier one. We need to make sure our HR support is responsive and effective. So because the journey starts, the journey goes two ways. Journey, either if talent is started and they're trained and they're inducted into the role, they're either performing and the client's really, really happy and it's a really positive journey, and then our resources, our HR and our resources are there to make sure that that journey stays happy, that the talent stays engaged, and that they're really positive about their role, so they're not going to look elsewhere. That becomes our role. And then the other side is if a talent starts, they're trained, and for whatever reason it's not a fit, it's not working, the client's not satisfied with how the direction that it's going, and then we're involved then to take responsibility for performance managing that talent. And hopefully we can turn that around and find out what the problem is, and then apply the additional training and turn it into a positive story. And if we can't, then we exit it out. But that's all on us. And so that allows the our clients to really focus on the very specific things, which are how to get the teams doing operating in a way which is exactly aligned to how they want to operate. I think the clients that are sort of selecting a company like Amapta, I mean, they're looking basically for operational excellence, and they're looking for excellence in things that they don't want to be involved in. And many of our clients do want to be very involved in how they skill their talent to perform the services specifically for their business. But all the other aspects, they want to deal with the company which is really in front of the game. And I think that's where we do quite well.
And give insight into the pricing structure. How does it work? What are the pricing considerations, and what are the typical pricing structures involved in this offshoring model?
Well, ours is very, very straightforward. We charge a fixed monthly fee. Our current pricing is $499 US a month. That's for all of our services and all of the Amapta charges. So that will include all the facilities, so providing the workstations, the IT hardware, and all the support that goes with facilities, air conditioning, electricity, cleaning, tea and coffee, and all the managing a pantry and all of those aspects, the employment of the talent, the organizational development programs, all the HR, the payroll, all the IT connectivity, all of that. So that's our complete charge for all our Manila operations. We've also got an offer at $99 a week, which is $429 US a month for our regional offices for exactly the same. And that's our charge. And then the only charge on top of that is the direct cost of what the employees are. And so, again, there's no penalty. If a client wants to have a very high quality talent, they're not getting an extra charge from us for that basis.
You mentioned when you first visited the Philippines, you were blown away by all of the roles and the skills that are being done over here on a daily basis. And you now have 3,500 seats of incredible examples of people doing incredible works and functions. Do you have any examples of interesting roles or accounts that you have in your BPO?
Yeah, it really is diverse, as you say. It covers every single role you can imagine. I'll try to answer that about the interesting. But just so firstly, our biggest categories, 22% of our workforce is in accounting and finance roles. 20% is IT, and we group IT as far as IT support and those types of roles, but also software developers and high-end software development activities and teams. Then we've got engineers, we've got marketing across all roles, you know, SEO, graphic designers, social media, every activity you can imagine there. Customer service, so online voice, email support. Then there's now to talk about interesting. I suppose the most interesting are the ones where the journeys where it starts in one area and then it really evolves into so much more. And the one that's coming to mind at the moment is the group of chemists, and they came with this requirement. They wanted a team set up here with us to do all of their cart note and all the sort of the data processing of their purchases that were coming in. And because what they were finding is that their retail staff in their pharmacies were, when they would go and do the visit, they were often in the back office doing this administrative process, and that they wanted them to be at the front with the serving customers. And so they did this project, and it was successful. It was successful on two fronts. One, I think there was a saving there because they were able to use their workforce in Australia more efficiently. So I think there was a net saving of, I think, five roles. But much more importantly to them, they were able to have a team that were always focused on at the front of their of the retail outlets. Then with that win, we had other discussions about what could be next, and they mentioned that they'd always wanted to have a sales analyst, but back then, and this is going back 8 years ago, sales analyst that they had looked into was going to cost around $150,000 a year, and that was just a little bit too much for them to make that investment. And we were able to put together something which I think the full cost, including all the MapDev services fees, was about $30,000. And so they decided to use some of their savings and invest in that resource. And by all accounts, the impact of that sales analyst on their business has been absolutely profound. And it's made an enormous, so it's made their initial savings and their gains look very, very small in comparison to that. And then beyond that, they've now built a team of people that are online price checking, because it's a competitive space now. There's lots of things going on there, and they perhaps weren't in front of that as much as they'd like to be. And now they've got a team that is just checking their competitors' price points, and they're matching it. And this has made an enormous impact on that business. But there's so many different stories, and this is, I think, perhaps the most exciting part, because often a client will come in and they've got a particular opportunity that they want to look at, and we can see very quickly, we say, wow, okay, well, that's what they're thinking that way, but there's actually a lot more. And and I think that's also where some of our growth has happened, is that clients have come in, they've seen they've got a requirement, and then that's been executed well. They love their team member. Everything's been done as what they hoped it would be done, and then they're in a position where they're ready to do more. And I think the most exciting part now is changing people's thinking to make them understand this is not just about labor savings or replacing a couple of non-critical roles with an offshore team, or even about accessing remote talent to support select activities. This is really about totally rethinking and reimagining how to build and operate an SME organization better and differently. and creating a new workforce operations of the future that can take this into the next productivity, into the next wave. And it's very, very exciting.
If people want to explore outsourcing, how would you suggest they go through the process of exploration? And, you know, also, how would they approach a MAPTA? Do you just suggest that people reach out and speak to people? What is the process of people starting this journey?
I would love them to reach out direct to us, and you go to the website, which is www.emapta, which is emapta.com. There's a story behind that name another time. And they're also welcome, if they hear this podcast, they're welcome to reach out to me direct, Tim Vorbach. And if they go through any channel and they want to ask for me, and they say they've listened to this podcast, whatever, we would love to have the same sort of discussion that we've had here, and just talk about what their business is and take it from there.
At the beginning, you said that you, with your own efforts, almost gave up on outsourcing because it can be a difficult journey. What do you say to people that are resistant to outsourcing, or, you know, go through some hardships with outsourcing and feel like giving up or not even trying?
Yeah, if they've already started the journey and it's not working, and sometimes they can identify why it's not working specifically, like I was able to specifically know, because I'd been to the Philippines, I'd met the talent, I knew it wasn't a problem with the talent, that wasn't the issue. But if they're doing it and they're not with a company like Emapta, you know, I would love them to contact us, because we're often talking to people that are on different, have different arrangements, and they're in the market, and it's not a hard sell. It's really consultancy, free consultancy, and sometimes that can help them even in their existing arrangements, or if there's a breakdown somewhere, then obviously that, depending on what that breakdown is, often that's very, very fixable. If a person's sort of looking at outsourcing, offshoring, and is concerned about it, or it looks like it's too big a jump, or they're not ready for it, I would just say, you know, just start having, you know, start the phone calls and start talking to people like Emapta and others, because you don't have to, you're not committed to anything, you're not obligated, but just start those conversations, because it will, in those conversations, you'll get more information, and you'll be very surprised. It's happening. It's happening across all industries. And so if businesses aren't really paying attention to this, then they run the risk of being left behind whilst their competitors are doing. And I really, that is the reality. And five, 10 years ago, we would have a conversation and I would speak to a business owner or a CEO, and then they would sort of get me in the side of a room, almost, you know, embarrassingly, and say to them, just thinking about offshore, but, you know, what do you think? And it's really, really like, as if it's not really an appropriate initiative or strategy, but that's completely changing now. And now it's on many companies. So their strategy, are we outsourcing, offshoring? Yes, no. Yes or no, not this year, next year. But it's a mainstream strategy, and it's changing. And the conversations, like I mentioned, it's not a question of can it be done. It's really a question of how. What's the best way of doing this? What's the lowest risk? What's the most efficient way? What's the most important thing, you know, aspects for our company, and then picking a partner who can deliver on all of those things.
Tim Vorbach, thank you very much.
Thanks very much too, Derek.
That was Tim Vorbach, the CEO of Emapta Versatile Services. If you want to get in touch with Tim or know any more about what we discussed on this podcast, then go to our show notes, which is outsourceaccelerator.com/277. And as always, if you want to drop us an email, then just email ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.